You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Thank you. Welcome to a new episode of the Unsolicited Opinion Metal Podcast. That was 1782 with their track Black Void from the latest album From the Graveyard. And it is with great pleasure that I welcome Mars Red Sky directly from France. How are you guys doing today?
Pretty good. Thank you.
Yes. Pretty good indeed.
That's awesome. I was just telling you guys, and I want people to know that last year during the the mid of the pandemic, I heard Strong Reflection for the first time on a Spotify playlist. And 3 months later, I couldn't hear anything else. And I tried to just listening to other bands, but then I can't literally, I was listening to your whole discography about 3 to 4 times a day. It was to that point.
Whoa.
Oh,
so that's... Yes. So, did you see Doctor?
I was considering it, to be honest. I was considering it. It was It was something very crazy, but you know, I'm glad that I was able to find you guys. You guys have awesome music, and I'm also glad that you guys were able to come to the interview.
Sure, it was very nice to hear.
Awesome. So
it was with a Strong Reflection on Spotify, right?
Because yes.
Quite a lot of people told us that they discovered us this way. So it's pretty cool. Nice. Interesting to see that it's useful.
Oh, yeah. I see that. I think that song has I think it has a million of plays on Spotify. I'm not sure if it's going to the 2 million, but I know it's in part of a lot of Spotify playlists.
Awesome.
Yeah. So for the people that don't know about you guys, can you tell us a little bit about the story of the band? What was the reasoning behind you guys forming and playing this music that you guys play?
We started the band 12 years ago, I think, something like that. And the idea was for a very short period, it was we started with Benoit, who played drums on the very first stage of the band, on the first album. So I tuned the guitar very low and started to come up with a couple of riffs. And I thought of Jimmy. I said, hey, come and play with us, because we've always talked of doing the... playing in a band, playing this sort of music. That's what we used to listen to when we shared the flat once. It was really recreational at first, and then after a while we had enough songs to record an EP. And the first recordings we did ended up what turned out to be the first album. So we got some pretty positive response right off from Germany, Poland, and we played there. And Matt joined after, so in 2012, he recorded an EP, Be My Guide, and then the second album, and it snowballed from there. It was very smooth, the beginning, and the feedback we got was quite a surprise, nice surprise, because we didn't expect to be we stepped in on a out of chance on a there was a scene, I think, excitement with stoner doom music, something like that at this time, and we didn't have a clue, which just there was some nice feedback, and that's how it started.
It's always interesting when you have bands that are successful and they really didn't mean to go that route, where just things started happening and people just enjoyed it and started spreading the word.
That's the best way.
Yeah, that is the best way. I agree.
That's the overthink.
Yeah, you don't have to like pay for like to actually get some kind of spotlight. You're having legit reactions from people that are really liking your stuff, right? So I agree that's it is the best way. Now, one thing that I find very interesting is the mix of influences and styles you guys play. You have, you know, a combination of obviously stoner rock, but you also have psychedelic traits and even thrash metal, or what I would consider thrash. Like my favorite track is The Winery, which I'm going to play after the interview. And I really like that thrashy section that you guys have. So can you talk about those influences? Do you guys think about this and like, or like, okay, I want to do a riff that sounds this way, or is it just more like, you know, it just comes out naturally and it's part of the dynamic that the band has?
Yeah, I think now we have a good connection between the three of us, and so we have our own sound. And when we compose, no, I don't think we try to go like. I mean, we don't want to try to sound like a precise band or precise type of music. But the thing is that we all listen to very different kind of music, mm-hmm. And from like psychedelic pop to metal to jazz and stoner and traditional music from where you want, and so that's, I think the what can I say,
the combination,
and the core of the composition is that we try to open the possibilities, and also but still with the sound that we have now from the years. That's probably thanks to the all different kind of music that we listen to, I guess.
And how about the lyrics? What about the lyrics? Because I have to be honest, during that period where I thought I was sick, because I couldn't stop listening to you guys, it got to the point where I thought you guys were like trying to reconvene and get all aliens that got stuck together on Earth and like be one and listen to Mars Red Sky. That's that's something I kind of, it got to the point where I was like, okay, I need to go to France and meet these guys because they are calling me. So, and but I know, I also know that you guys have like, you know, stuff like more related to like personal experiences. So can you talk about a little bit about that?
You're saying you're an alien, right? That's what you're saying.
I you guys make me feel like I'm an alien that got lost on Earth. Like somehow I get stranded here. So,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We felt that way. the lyrics are at times they're layers of different ways you can understand them.
It's open to interpretation.
Yep, and the way they're constructed is it's never like Matt said about the way we write music. We'll start with a riff or a pattern or whatever, and not really knowing where it will go, and without deciding we're going to do a heavy metal song or a more jazzy. Chord progression, or it just comes as it goes, and with the words, it's a little bit like this. There's never the starting point can be just a few words that sounded good usually I sing in Yawurt. We call this gibberish blur. One again, four again, this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. When there's no words, just the musicality. So there's already a line, music line, and a few words try to start to show. And from there, comes the rest. So it's very easy at the beginning. And after a while, there might be appears a guiding line. So mm-hmm. I'll try to find some other words and like metaphors a lot. So people, it's strange. I couldn't really explain what the songs are about exactly.
Yeah, it's more open to interpretation. So I'm still going to stick with that you guys are trying.
Their own logic. It's like the logics of dreams. When you're in a dream and when you're experiencing the dream, everything feels very logic. So it's the same sort of thing that happens with the words there.
Awesome. That's
their own little words.
I'm definitely going to revisit them and like read them and listen to them as with this perspective, of course. There were literally times I have so many friends that told them like, hey, these guys are like trying to like get me into a cult or something, really. But it's fun. It's definitely fun. It's very catchy. And I think that's the best thing about you guys, that these songs can just stuck in your head, that just get stuck in your head forever. And like, again, even after that period of time where I was pretty much listening only to you guys, coming back to it and revisiting the songs now, they're still fresh. And, you know, thinking about, for example, your debut album, which was out about 10 years ago, and mm-hmm. and listen to the songs and listening how fresh they still sound, how, you know, if you were to release that album right now, it would be an album that is definitely can be done on 2021. So I find that very interesting about you guys. And talking about that debut album, you guys pretty much, again, celebrated the 10th anniversary. And you guys asked for art submissions for each of the tracks in the album. Can you talk a little bit about this?
So, yes, so we decided to make something special because, as you said, regarding Strong Reflection, it's really a door for the people to come into our world, in a way. Mm-hmm. Sometimes some guys are stuck during 3 months, 4 hours a day. Anyway, and it was a kind of special, so we decided to make something special. And in order to make something special, we try to propose to the fans to participate, because the idea of this project is that we were really welcome and invite when mm-hmm. we started the band. It was a kind of scene we didn't know before. With some blog, it went really quick. And some people just say, hey, come and play. And we have a lot of stories. And it was really only a question of, I don't know, it was really something special with this connection with these people. And we decided to say to the people, you can participate about that. And the really special thing inside is when you will get this vinyl, the cover will be a bit different. And it will be a book with this drawings from the people, but also a log. You can go on internet and it will be a page. You can go totally inside the record, because we propose a mix table with a special design, old design. And you can choose to hear only the vocals or only the guitars or only nice. The bass, or you can select. You can make a mix, actually. It's not made for the people to propose their own mix, because the best is our mix, of course.
Right.
But but you know, it's more to go inside, really inside, inside. Like, for example, you put only the guitars and the rhythm guitars, or only the solo guitars, and you can see that it's really simple. This record is really simple, actually. And on top of that, we had 4 hours video during the sessions, because a friend came. It was supposed to be only a demo, and it was a kind of adventure, you know, this recording in a lost in a in a small house in the Bardenas desert. We get the electricity from the sun, and it was really special. And we get 4 hours video during the session. So we will do some short video for each song too. You can open it with or without the sound of the video. You can mix the video too with the sound of the video. Sometimes we talk. Or with the sound, or without the sound of the video, and see the image with the mix you done, you know, and that's all. And it will be released in December.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, that was going to be my next question, because that's very ambitious. That's awesome. That's it's very interesting, because you can definitely like go in depth as far as the layering of in the songs. I know, like, maybe for instance, maybe the passages that you guys are playing on the instruments can be simple, but there's a lot of layering, which I think it's what makes your music stand out from all the other bands that are playing the same genre.
Usually, Julien, from the beginning, Julien is doing a lot of guitars during the recording. Maybe a bit more now, but even at this period, it was a minimum for four guitars, I think, three guitars. Hein, Julien?
Yep, something like that. There's a way more now, I guess. There are more layers of different sounds, but yeah, on the first album it was pretty raw. I think I split the signal on two amps, so each riff, each take would be on stereo left and right, and that would be doubled. And then there was a lead, and I think that's about it. Very simple. Yeah.
Okay. And you guys have developed that with each album, like you've added more layers and more layers.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. The idea is that not make the same album each time. So the process is a bit the same, but we can see the beast growing, you know.
Yeah.
In a way. Sounds,
yeah, makes sense. And going back a little bit to the artwork, one thing that I realized about the artwork, it looks like it's done by hand, right? So can you talk about the artwork? It's not. Oh, interesting.
No.
It's not. He's got a small trick. The Carlos Olmo, we made. He's the guy who is doing all our covers album, because we work with a lot of different artist for visuals, for flyers, for anyway, but for albums is only the same guy for the covers of our records, and it's a kind of story. Sometimes, I mean, what you see on the cover, it's the story of what happened to the band. Yes, especially on EP. Yeah.
Okay.
For example, if you take one example, if you take Be My Guy, it was an old EP, and you will see a lot of things. It's what have the band been through during this period. Matt arrived playing drums at the beginning of the band. It was like the first EP or the second, and right after the first album, and you can see. Yeah, sometimes it tell a kind of stories, even if it's not really narrative, you know. Usually it's something behind.
Interesting. So whenever I get the vinyl, I'm going to play the record and just get lost in the artwork and see all these little details. That's awesome. That's great to hear. I always find interesting whenever bands, particularly in the stoner and doom genre, you know, they really do pay close attention towards, you know, the artwork and how much detail it has to be in order to enhance the overall experience of listening to the music as you are getting lost in the artwork and different styles. You know, it's always very entertaining and very interesting, and definitely adds value to the overall, you know, quality of the release. So very interesting. I'm definitely going to delve into that. So
it's nice that he really developed a technique. He came, I think, by chance. He developed a very specific texture, and he applied that to that was on the first album, the Comet, which was the inside of the very first edition of the first album was something different. It was just the logo of the band on the front. And when you opened the CD, there was a picture of the comet, and we told him we really loved this because it looked handmade, but it's not okay. Exactly. He didn't tell us exactly how he came about this, but he used that after on the other releases. So there's a unity.
This, yeah, it's a sense of continuity with the novel artworks.
Thank you. That's what I meant.
Yeah. Awesome. That's great. So what's next for Mars Red Sky?
We've just been confirmed also for a festival in Oslo, Norway, which was supposed to happen last year, but for some reasons that you know probably, everything has been moved. And so it seems to be happening this year until now. And and we'll go for the first time in Iceland.
Oh yeah,
nice.
In December.
That's
so
awesome.
Things are getting back a little bit, and we hope that everything will happen this time.
Yes. I can't wait for tours to start happening again. Last time I saw a band live was actually Opeth in February last year. So I need live music.
Sure. We will need.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. And so for people that, you know, gets to discover you guys via this episode, how can they find you on socials? Where can they listen to the music? How they can reach out to you directly?
There is the Facebook page, Instagram, and what would be the best way to reach out?
Awesome. I will be leaving all the links in the episode notes. Okay. So thank that you. Way everyone can check him out and check you guys out. Again, I want to thank you guys for this time. It's definitely a pleasure meeting you guys. I hope that eventually, I get to see you live, and know that if you ever want to play in Puerto Rico, just, you know, reach out.
Awesome.
And we'll take care of you guys.
Cool. We would love you. Thank you.
We love that.
Thank you very much for your intention.
Yeah,
of course.
Thanks a lot.
So this is Mars Red Sky, and this song is called The Winery.
That was Mars Red Sky with the track The Winery from the album Apex 3. Visit the links in the episode notes to follow them on socials. Now, here's Big Brave with the track Abating the Incarnation of Matter.
We'll be right back.
That was Abating the Incarnation of Matter by Big Brave from the album Vital. The band has announced an European tour with Fajel on April and May of 2022. Stay connected with Big Brave on their socials. Now, this is Wheel with the track When the Shadow Takes You Over. Devil's Wheel with the track When the Shadow Takes You Over from the album Preserved in Time. I would like to thank everyone for listening to this episode. Next week's episode will feature San Antonio's lush metal band The Grasshopper Lies Heavy. Remember to follow Unsolicited Opinion Metal Podcast on all social media platforms and to listen and share past episodes as well. Let us know which one are your favorite interviews. Here's Kongin Sor with the track Japan, Japan. Thank you for listening. Have a good one. Rising tide over fate. Dark memory. Open mouth will lacking taste. Open the misery. No thirst quench. Withering to the sea. Chase the rust. Running words of vulture fate. Rising tide over fate. Dark memory. Open mouth will lacking taste. Open the misery. Fake it mine. No strength.
Ever wonder what a punch from Elton John feels like?
Or how you'd cope with having turned down the chance to be in Nirvana?
Or what signal Keith Richards gives when he wants you to get the hell out of his hotel room?
Fans of Too Much Effing Perspective don't have to wonder, because they've heard these exact stories and a jillion others on our podcast. I'm Alex Hoffman, former tour manager for Radiohead.
And I'm musician and comedy writer Alan Keller. On the TMEP show, we get guests like Nancy Wilson from Heart, Jeremiah Freites from the Lumineers, and Modern Family's Julie Bowen to tell us things they may have only shared with their therapist, clergy, or a TMZ stringer.
So join us on Too Much Effing Perspective. That's EFFING Perspective, the only podcast you crank up to 11.